You are listening to BensTorah.com.
It's always a humbling experience speaking at this occasion, this venue. It's always a moment of appreciation. I'm grateful and privileged enough to be part of such a shul that has two people to look up to as a source of wisdom, a source of knowledge, and a source of chizuk. To be able to speak beside them is really something overwhelming. And our bracha tonight is that they should be continued. Yamim Ayimei Melech Tosif. They should continue to be sources of chizuk for us, sources of inspiration for an entire community. We should all have the ability to continue to follow their wisdom. A friend of mine that obviously is not so familiar with the shiur tonight that we've been doing the past few years called me up, and I guess he saw the flyer. He said, "So are you ready for the great debate?" So I said, "The great debate? That was last night." He said, "No, tonight you have a great debate." I said, "There's no debates going on. I think everything I say, nothing too novel, will be agreed upon by both Rabbi Feiner and Rabbi Kalkula Shlita." Every year, as I begin to prepare for Yomim Noraim, I begin to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. As Rosh Hashanah approaches, I'm faced with the same challenge. I find myself grappling with the same issue. And that is that we stand there on Rosh Hashanah. We come to the Almighty, and we know everything hangs in the balance. Everything's being decided now. It's the Yom Hadin, the time where Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mesim are open in front of the Ribbono Shel. And we think about the past year, all our experiences during the past year, the highs, the good times, the simchas, the disappointments, the low times, everything that's transpired runs through our mind. And we think for a moment that it was all decided on the Yom HaDin, on Rosh Hashanah, B'Shas Ki HaShofar. And when we think about these things, and no doubt everyone has had these moments where these memories have flashed through their mind, we think about it, it jolts us into almost a panic, a frenzy. All we want is to be able to pour our hearts out in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, to beg him, to ask him for forgiveness, to ask him for a few bakashas. All we want is to be able to pour our heart out. Yet it's nowhere to be found in the davening. We have to search, perhaps a little bakasha here, a little one there. We try to squeeze it in. But most of the davening, we spend the entire day in shul. No bakashas, no vidui, no asking the Ribbono Shel Olam for all those things that we so desperately need, for the refuahs, for the yeshuas, for the parnasah. But clearly that's not what Chazal wanted us to focus on. Because Rosh Hashanah, the davening, is not about our bakashas. We don't find it there. Rather, we're asked to focus on this lofty concept of Malchus Shemayim. Time and time again, HaMelech HaKadosh, Meloyech Al Kol HaOretz. Very lofty idea, perhaps we can relate to it somewhat, but perhaps a little bit hard for us. Malchus Shemayim, what does that mean to me? Everything hangs in the balance, and this is all I could ask for, and at times it could be frustrating. This is the time I want to be able to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam and ask him for everything I need. All the fixes. This is the time where everything is going to be decided. And I'm focused on this concept, which I don't really know how to relate to. Malchus Shemayim, Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim. And it could be a bit frustrating. But there's no doubt that it wasn't a mistake. Chazal saw that Rosh Hashanah was not about asking for what we need. Yes, it's true that it's all being decided on that day. It's all being decided What the year is going to look like is being decided on that day, at that during those moments. But we are to focus on Malchus Shamayim. And the Ramchal explains to us, because if we understood why Rosh Hashanah was the Yom HaDin, it's something which we've taken for granted. We've grown up with, so we've become accustomed to it. So it makes sense to us that the first day of the year is the Yom HaDin. But it didn't have to be that way. Why should the first day of the year, the day we commemorate Briyas HaOlam, Hayom Haras Lanu, HaOlam, why did that have to be the Yom HaDin? The Ramchal says, because Moshel Mahadavar Doime, you have a person who begins to build a business. And every member of that business, every employee, has a specific job, a specific role. How that employee is going to enhance the business, how it's going to help, how he's going to get to the end goal, how the business is going to be successful, because each person knows their role, knows their job, is going to accomplish it successfully. And then a year passes, and that day comes again, where the day he set up the business. Now he has to look, was he successful? What could he switch around? Does every person know what their role is? Were they successful at their role? Perhaps this person would be more successful elsewhere. Perhaps this person's not for the job he thought he was cut out for. Perhaps I have to make this switch. So every year they take inventory again. How's the business doing? How's the bottom line? Who's an asset to the business? And who's slowing things down? Says the Ramchal, the Rabbeinu Shalom is doing the same thing. Hayoyim Haras Olam, he created the world on Rosh Hashanah. And every year he comes back to that melucha and he takes a look at it, a close look at it, at every single detail. Are things going the way they were supposed to be going? Is the purpose of the world being accomplished? Who knows their role and who's trying to accomplish their role? Who's an asset to my melucha, and who chalila is a detriment to that? So every year in Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbeinu Shalom, so to speak, looks over the employees and takes a look. Who's helping Malchus Shamayim? Who deserves to be here? Who has a role here? Who has a tafkid here? And who doesn't? So our job on Rosh Hashanah is not to ask for Parnasa, it's not to ask for Brios, it's not to ask for Yeshuas, for Shidduchim, for our children. Our role on Rosh Hashanah is to convince the Rabbeinu Shalom that we have a tafkid in this world, that we play a role in His Melucha, that we are an asset to His Melucha, that He has an objective in creating the world, and that was Malchus Shamayim and the Gilui, the revelation of Malchus Shamayim, and we are assisting in that goal. And of course, if the Rabbeinu Shalom is convinced, based on our actions in the previous year, and based on our sincerity when we approach him on Rosh Hashanah, of course everything else will fall into place. If we have a role in this world, so we certainly need all the brachas, we need the refuas, we need the yeshuas. That will come. But come Chazal and say, now's not the time to ask for your personal bakashas. Now's the time, if you realize what's going on in Beis Din Shel Malach, you realize that every aspect of the melucha of Malchus Shamayim is being judged. Every aspect is being reviewed to whether it worked successfully in the past year or not. You'll realize that your bakasha to the Rabbeinu Shalom is one thing. To convince him that you have a part in it. You're a loyal citizen. You're an asset to this melucha. So we find ourselves on Rosh Hashanah focused, totally consumed with this idea of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, trying not to get distracted with all the many myriad tzrachim that we need, bakashas, asking for the particular things that are bothering us, that are providing us, that are giving us a sense of agmas nefesh. And we put that all to the side. And we show the Rabbanu Shalom that we are a part of this. We belong here. We belong as a part of this melucha. We have a tafkid here. We're going to be successful at accomplishing that tafkid. But it's hard. Because, as I've mentioned before, Kabbalah Sol Malch Shemayim, it's a hard thing to put your finger on. What does it mean? We all believe the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. We all believe that He is in charge of the world and constantly watching over it. We all say Kriya Shema every day, Ara Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. So what exactly am I doing on Rosh Hashanah? What should my thought process be? How am I going to convince the Rabbanu Shalom? What does it mean for me practically that I'm being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim? I know the Rabbanu Shalom created the world. I know He created me. I know He's running everything, each detail. So what am I doing there? What am I reinforcing when I say, V'simloich al kol ha'aretz? I came across an interesting idea this year from Rav Hirsch, which for me put things in a little bit of a different perspective.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Rav Hirsch describes how on Rosh Hashanah, our focus on Malchus Shemayim relates in particular to the Rabbanu Shalom's sovereignty, His control over time. How the Rabbanu Shalom is the only entity in the world which preexisted time, which is above time, which is not bound by time. And we come to the Rabbanu Shalom and we discuss the past. That's Zichronos. We ask Him to remember our history, the glorious moments of our heritage. We ask Him to remember the Avos HaKadoshim. And we focus somewhat on the future as well, that Shofros. We show Him how we're yearning for that day, once again, Utakavah Shofar Gadol. Looking forward to the future. But it all hinges on the present. Everything revolves around the present. It says Rav Hirsch, that's Malchus. That's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, in the words of Rav Hirsch, is the realization that the tiniest portion of present time has a task to fulfill in God's kingdom. It attains eternal significance only upon the completion of its mission. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim in the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah, says Rav Hirsch, is the realization that every moment, every present moment that a person experiences has a mission. There's a tafkid. There's a goal, there's an accomplishment that moment could accomplish, could service. And every moment has that mission. And we as humans have the ability, we have to make that decision. Are we going to let the time pass by? Are we going to live through time as something that just goes? It's fleeting, every moment is fleeting. Are we going to make the decision that are going to make every one of those moments eternal, as Rav Hirsch said? Every one of those moments could become timeless. Every one of those moments could be infused with a sense of purpose, something which will last forever. I could use that moment to enhance my relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, to strengthen that relationship, and that moment will last well beyond the present time. I could use that moment to enhance my relationship with my family, creating a stronger relationship, to enhance the relationship with my friends. That's turning those moments and making them timeless, giving them meaning well beyond the present. Or I could just live through time, not taking note how quickly it's passing. That each moment is forgotten from one to the next. Chofetz Chaim, I saw earlier in the year something which made a deep impression on me. Chofetz Chaim used to tell his Talmidim, on Rosh Hashanah, every person comes in front of the Rabbanu Shalom with his personal calendar. His personal calendar of the previous year. But says the Chafetz Chaim, we know that there are two types of calendars. There are the types of calendars where after a day is finished, you tear it off and you throw it in the garbage. And there are types of calendars where you turn the page. Says the Chafetz Chaim that each person comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam with his calendar. Some people, their calendars are empty. Every moment, every day, it passed, it was over, it was finished, there's nothing there. There's nothing real, there's nothing lasting. After the day passed, they ripped it out and threw it out. There's nothing to behold. No accomplishments came from it. They come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and they have an empty calendar. And there are those people that turned the page but never forgot the previous day. Every day had significance. Every day had a mission. Every day had meaning. They come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with a full calendar. Look what I've done this year. That day may no longer be here, but look what an effect it had on the world. Look what an effect it had on my life. Look what an effect it had on my family. There's no way you could say that day is gone. That day is very much here. Look what I accomplished during that day. Says the Chafetz Chaim, those are the calendars we're bringing. Chafetz Chaim used to tell his Talmidim, was his Yahrzeit today, I was thinking about some of the stories that I've heard from him. The Chafetz Chaim was almost obsessed with this idea. He used to tell his Talmidim, you take a look in Avos, it says, La'onata hoylech. You want to avoid chet? Have in mind La'onata hoylech, where every person is going. And the Mefarshim asked, La'onata hoylech, La'onata yelech, where you will be going. What's La'onata hoylech? Where you're going right now? Says the Chofetz Chaim, a Jew's perspective on life can't be that one day there's going to be the end. One day there's going to be a Yom HaMisa. No. Every moment that we live is a Yom HaMisa. Every moment that we are experiencing will no longer be here. We experience it, then it's gone. It's done. That time will never come back. Says the Chofetz Chaim, take advantage of it. It's not going to be here tomorrow. You either decide to make use of it now, or you'll never have the opportunity again. The Chofetz Chaim used to, his Talmidim, many Talmidim, relate that the Chofetz Chaim used to cry. They used to hear him from the side, the back of his room. This is something to me which is greater than any moifes. Simple, no less than a miracle, superhuman. He used to make a cheshbon, a calculation of every minute of the year. And they would hear him on Yom Kippur after calculating all the minutes that had gone by and he had not used them. Yisrael Meir, what's going to be? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave you a life, he gave you a child, children, he gave you food to eat, and you wasted an hour? You let an hour go by without using it. This is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, says Rav Hirsch, is the realization that every moment has a mission. Every moment has a purpose. And every single moment a Jew has to make a decision. Am I going to dedicate this moment to something useful, something productive? Something which will enhance the Malchus Shemayim, something which will clearly show that I have a role here, I have a purpose here, or will we squander that moment? I believe this is why the first mitzvah Klal Yisrael is given, the very first mitzvah upon becoming a nation, is HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. We leave the avdus of Mitzrayim, we become a nation, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. Now you're being mekabel upon yourselves, O Malchus Shemayim. What does that mean, O Malchus Shemayim? Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim means the realization, as Rav Hirsch said, that you have the ability to take every single moment and make it eternal. Make it lasting, make it timeless. Dedicate yourself during that moment to Malchus Shemayim, to enhancing Malchus Shemayim. And that moment will last forever. It'll be timeless. This is an idea which I think about often. I think about often because it scares me. It's not to say that every generation didn't have such a challenge. The challenge of using one's time appropriately is part of the human condition. Something which I have no doubt for generations we have grappled with. People have struggled with. But I believe that this challenge has taken on a new form. In the day that we live, in our time, in our society, the question is no longer, am I using my time appropriately? Have I wasted some time? And we can't expect ourselves to be able to answer the question like the Chafetz Chaim answered. We can't expect ourselves to be able to calculate every moment that we didn't use productively. But the question is, do we still ask ourselves the question? Has the concept of wasting time totally been forgotten? I had a friend who was in the Philadelphia yeshiva when Rav Elia Svei was the Rosh Yeshiva. They once walked by a group of bachrim that were discussing, that were schmoozing, and he overheard one of them say the phrase, yeah, let's go back to the dorm, we'll kill some time. And he stopped in his tracks. Rav Elia Svei turned around and he said, kill some time? How could you even say such a thing? It's against everything we believe. You're going to kill time? It's the most important asset that we have. If you don't grab onto it now, we'll never come back. In the society we live in, we don't even ask ourselves this question anymore. Because every single moment, there's something else to do. At any moment, if I'm not busy, so at that moment, I could look at my emails. At that moment, I can make a call. At that moment, I could look what someone sent me. I could go on the internet, anything. At that moment, before even making the decision, what will I do with this time? Will I use it productively or will I waste it? And have that decision to be made before we even make the decision, it's already made for us. And that's something that's very scary. How much time we waste without even realizing that we're wasting it. If we would realize we were wasting it, so we could do something about it. But we don't even realize. Someone just showed me recently, he was in my office, and he showed me a group that he is a part of, a WhatsApp group, that has been going on for a year. He said he wanted to see what would happen if he turned that WhatsApp group into a Word document. He said he exported it into a Word document, 800 pages. It was an 800-page book. Now, that's not to say there's nothing valuable. Of course there is. But can you imagine how much time went into that? Are people calculating, now I'm going to use it, now I'm not? That's not the nature of it. Yes, we can't expect ourselves to use every second. But we can expect ourselves to live our lives based on decisions that we make, not based on decisions of habit. And we should be making decisions about what we're doing with our time. We shouldn't let those decisions be made for us. Rav Chatzka Levenstein used to say, the Miriam Mashkiach used to say that when he was a bacher in Kelm, the Alta from Kelm used to tell all the bachim the way to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, the way to prepare for the Yom HaDin is by being nizer, extra careful in Shmirah Shabbos. It's something which always struck me as strange. Shabbos is very important, but it's at one of the mitzvahs. Why would Shabbos prepare me for Rosh Hashanah? Why Shabbos in particular? Every person knows Yedei Adam Meros Nafsho. Every person knows his weaknesses. Focus on your weaknesses. Says Rav Chatzkel, the Alter from Kelm said, Shabbos. Every person has to focus on Shabbos. And now I believe that I understand a little better. Because Shabbos is the time that we're meant to refocus. Shabbos is that compass that we have. Shabbos is the time where we have to make sure we cut off ties from everything which consumes our time during the week. And we refocus. Are we using our time appropriately? Shabbos is the time where we say, this time is going to be dedicated for productivity, for the things which perhaps I didn't have time during the week. through enhancing my relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, for enhancing my relationship with my wife, with my husband, with my children. Shabbos is the time where we focus on all those things which are so important to us, but somehow fallen through the cracks. Shabbos is where we refocus on our appreciation of what time is for us. So Shabbos is our preparation. Yismichu b'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos. Shabbos Malchusa. You want to appreciate Malchus Shemayim. You want to appreciate what Malchus Shemayim is, that every moment of time, the tiniest portion of time, as Rav Hirsch says, has a mission, has a job, has a purpose. There's something that could be accomplished during that time. It all comes from your Shmirah Shabbos. What does your Shabbos look like? What are you doing on Shabbos? Do you appreciate the time that you have? Believe as we go into a Rosh Hashanah, take the next few days, the upcoming Shabbos, to contemplate about these ideas. To think to ourselves honestly. Do we honestly appreciate the time we're given? Do we take advantage of the time that's given to us? And that's not to say, and I want to be clear about this, that there's no time for relaxing, there's no time to enjoy oneself. But when you enjoy yourself, at least make it a decision that you're deciding to relax now, that you're in control, that it's something that you need and want to do right now. So at least you're living your life. Do we appreciate what every time, every moment of time could be? That it could be timeless. It could last forever if we take advantage of it. Is there time in our week? Again, we're not the Chafetz Chaim. We're not expected that every moment will be dedicated to the Rabbanu Shalom. But is there time in the week that we dedicate strictly to our relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, where nothing else is going in our mind? For 5 minutes a week, is there that time where it's just me and the Rabbanu Shalom? Whether it be during davening, during learning, or just thinking about your spiritual life, with nothing else going on, nothing else yanking for your attention. Do we have those moments in our day, or have they slipped away from us without us even noticing? This is what we have to focus on. Going into a Yom HaDin, where we're asked to focus on the Malchus Shemayim, where we're going to be expected to convince the Rabbanu Shalom that we have a place in His Malchus, that there's a role that we need to accomplish and that He needs us here. We have to show Him we appreciate Malchus Shemayim. We appreciate what Malchus Shemayim means. And no doubt He'll be convinced that we have a role, we have a place, and we'll be Nechta V'Nechtam, and a shnas toivah l'shalom, l'chayim toivim l'shalom for all of us.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.